Good morning. This is Stuart Bunnell from the Shone FM newsroom. And this is the first interview in our 2025 territorial election series, where we will be speaking to party leaders and Indigenous candidates from each of the three parties. Today, we're going to be kicking things off with Yukon NDP leader Kate White. She has been the MLA for Tikini Copper King since 2011 and has been the leader of the Yukon NDP since 2019. And she joins us today live in studio. Good morning, Kate, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And it's so good to be here. My favorite thing about Shone FM is I'm saying good morning to Wuntukwichin and Natchonayak Dunn and Little Sam and Carmax and across the territory. So good morning to everyone.
Good morning. And so let's get things started here. In a little over a month, Yukoners are heading back to the polls. So why should they be considering a Yukon NDP vote as they cast their votes this fall?
Yeah, so as it stands, the Yukon NDP, we've been campaigning and knocking on doors for months. And we've been hearing from folks on their doorsteps, and we've been talking to organizations and professionals like healthcare and business and tourism industry. And we're hearing from folks that really what they want is they want a government that's going to listen, and they want a government that's going to act on like the suggestions and the solutions. And so this is an important election, because this is the ability for people to say, yeah, we want better health care and we want lower costs. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to vote for the Yukon NDP. You're going to vote for your candidate in your riding. And we're excited. We're excited to represent you. We're excited to raise your voice and to bring it forward. And we're excited to action the solutions that you bring forward.
Fantastic. And of course, you know, one of the issues that you've been raising, both in discussing the election this year and also in the Legislative Assembly, has been healthcare. You know, what needs to change, and what's the Yukon NDP going to do to help move those changes forward?
Yeah, so healthcare affects us no matter where we live in the territory. So we know that there's been closures in rural health centers. We know that there's long tapes, wait times in the ER. You know, folks are struggling to find a family doctor or just get the care that they need. And at times it feels insurmountable, especially when you have the line from the Liberals saying it's across the country, it's around the world, it's a crisis. But what I'm hearing from healthcare workers is that there are solutions. You know, we worked this spring with the Yukon Medical Association and brought forward a piece of legislation that really will help support doctors and help them do the work that they want to do supporting Yukoners. Last week, I made the first campaign announcement in front of the Hospital Corporation, flanked by nurses, which is a healthcare listening tour. And so I'm confident that folks on the front line, no matter where they are in health, they have ideas and they have suggestions and they have solutions. And so what they've told me is that they just need someone who's willing to listen, and they need someone who's willing to act on it. And we are. You know, you can count on the Yukon NDP, you can count on me, and we're really excited to bring some of those ideas forward.
Absolutely. And I was at that announcement for the listening tour, yep, which is a great name for it. One of the things that I forgot to ask that day was, there are a lot of health centers in the Yukon, yeah,
and every rural Yukon community, there's a community like health center. So whether it's staffed by a nurse or it has a traveling doctor that comes through, but they're everywhere. And so when we talk about the listening tour, it is going out to rural Yukon. You know, I've heard from community nurses saying that, you know, we can figure out the schedule if it's allowed to be flexible. We can make sure that it's fully, you know, it's fully staffed and it's got full support. But the government hasn't been willing to work with us. And so whether we're talking about rural Yukon or we're talking about one of the three hospitals, you know, people have suggestions and ideas. Healthcare workers within home care, lab techs within the hospital corporation. Like, everybody has ideas on how to make it better. And it's just a matter of listening and really hearing what people are saying, the challenges that they're facing, and hearing their solutions. And so the listening tour is important, because that's how we start to make those changes, is by hearing from folks where they are about how we can better support them.
Absolutely. Now, are you concerned about the about the time constraints? Because as you noted, there are a lot of them, and as premier, you're going to have a lot on your plate.
Yeah, no, not worried at all. As it stands, I visit every community every year, every non-incorporated community, I pop into health centers around the territory. So I'm not concerned. And again, it's about priorities. Government states get to make priorities. For me, healthcare is a priority. The NDP, healthcare is a priority. And so that is the first and first and foremost. I mean, we're talking about better healthcare. And in order to do that, we have to live up to that commitment. And that's really hearing from folks where they are.
Absolutely. And of course, something that I remembered to talk about on Friday was that part of the listening is going to be about retaining the staff that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the healthcare or the health center closures in the rural communities have come down to being understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan for helping to recruit more people into these rural centers so they don't have to close?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I have to say hold this space for some of those solutions because they're going to be coming out in the coming days and weeks. But what I will tell you is that when you talk to someone who's working in within one of those health centers and they say, you know, this is how we could change things and this is how we can make things better. But when they bring that to government and they're disrespected, they were disrespected by the UConn party, they've been disrespected by the Liberals, like why would you stay? You know, why would you stay? There's a huge cost to those people providing those services. You feel a real onus of responsibility to your communities. They're people you care about. They're people you see every day. And so I know that solutions exist. And one of the things that healthcare workers said last week is they said, you know, it's about retaining who we have. It's about supporting the people we have right now, and then it's about bringing in new people, right? If we can, you know, steer the boat and make people feel happier about the work that they're doing and make them feel supported and respected as they should be, then they're going to start telling their friends who are healthcare professionals across the country. And so I'm excited about that. And, you know, we have so much to offer. Every time I meet with someone who isn't from the Yukon, and you see their eyes light up when they see the sunrise, you know, we all right now across the territory are able to look out the window and we're able to see that view that like impacts us so much. And so there's so much that we can offer, right? Like just that heart filling, you know, the beauty, the importance and community of the Yukon. And so people will come. People will come.
Brilliant. Now, of course, another of the concerns that you have been bringing up has been lowering costs. But you're not alone in that. You know, the Yukon Liberal Party have stated that that's one of their priorities, as has the Yukon Party. So how would a Yukon NDP government go about lowering the cost of living?
Yeah, so that's an important one. You know, it's a hard one because right now Yukoners in every community are being hit by high costs, right? Their power bills, their grocery bills, their transportation bills, everything feels unaffordable. And in reality, the other parties, they can't be trusted. They can't be trusted on energy. You know, we can look back at the Conservative Yukon Party when they tried to privatize our energy in the ATCO scandal, right? It's the same Yukon Party. Or, you know, we can look at the Liberals who in their time in government have approved 100% of the rate hikes on Yukoners. And so that is it. They're like, that is a reality. Those are truths. And you know, Yukoners can count on me and our Yukon NDP to act. And so I'm going to scoop myself a bit here, which is kind of fun and a bit unanticipated. But I want to let folks listening know right now that we're going to lower your costs by stopping the incoming rate hikes. And so this is just one part of a multi-tiered plan on bringing down costs. But like that energy rate hike that we know is coming, we'll put a pause on that.
See, that was something that I was going to ask because, of course, the Yukon Party did mention, or sorry, they announced. It wasn't just a passing fancy. They did announce that they were going to do the same thing. And so we've got two parties now who are saying the same thing in terms of energy. And the reason that you are, you know what? No, let's not put words in your mouth. Let's rephrase that.
Why are we different?
That's a great way to ask. Go ahead.
Why are we different? The Yukon NDP are different because we have done what we said we were going to do, and we've proven it time and time again. You know, in 14 years of being elected, the stories that I've heard from folks on their doorsteps, and I've knocked on thousands of doors, and I've knocked on doors in every community in the Yukon, and stories that people share with us and their experiences is what shapes our worldview, and it shapes how we direct things. And so when we talk about energy, you know, when I got elected in 2011, we were on the cusp of an energy crisis. And there hasn't been a lot of new generation since 2011. You know, we've seen a big push towards electrification, but we haven't seen a big push towards generation, and that's a problem. And that was under the Yukon Party, and that was under the Yukon Liberals. And so we have a plan, and I'm excited about the plan, and I'm not going to scoop myself on everything right now, but the truth is you can count on us. You know, I've proven time and time again that, you know, that you can count on me, and you can count on my candidates, and you can count on our commitments.
Speaking of your candidates, you've got all three currently elected NDP MLAs coming back for more, for more punishment in the Yukon Legislative Assembly.
Not more punishment. More ability to, like, fight for what we think is important, because Yukoners have told us. More ability to elevate the voices of the people around us, and more ability to direct, you know, how that changes. I think about so many important things that have happened, not just in recent memory, but past memory. And I think if you know, the Yukon NDP was able to do things like make Truth and Reconciliation Day a statutory holiday in the Yukon, as the smallest number of people in that assembly, when Annie Blake stood up and she shared her stories, right? She shared her own story. She shared the stories of her community. And then think about what we would do as government, right? Leading with that courage and that empathy and all of those experiences and stories. Like, my candidates, they're phenomenal. They're healthcare workers, and they're educators, and they're small business owners and First Nations leaders. And so they all have this wealth of experience, and that experience helps shape what the future can look like. And so it's a really exciting time in the territory. It's really exciting.
See, that's something that I've really noticed and appreciated after covering politics for the last 2 years, is that for me anyway, it can be a little bit discouraging to follow politics. And yet every single day, even when you are absolutely exhausted, you still have just an insane amount of optimism and hope. What is it that drives you to have that kind of determination to keep moving forward?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, and I appreciate it. If you've had a chance to meet me, no matter where you are, you know that I'm going to show up the best I can, always. And I love people. I love people. I love them. I want to hear your stories. Like, I was knocking on doors the other day, and I got to hear about a marriage that, like, was longer than 50 years. And I got to hear how they met in Burwash Landing back in the day when he worked for the Army and she was at the restaurant. Or I got to hear the stories of like my friend Marion, that is, like, really the driving force behind the dental plan. And now, when this time of, like, divisive politics, more than ever, you need people who come at it with courage and with heart, right? And they come at it with solutions. And to be perfectly frank, if I didn't think things could be different, then this is not the job I would be doing. Because 14 years in a job that you didn't think could be different would be too long. But I have the belief that things can be differently, tones can be different, how we face, you know, challenges can be different. And it's how come we're so focused on solutions, right? We all know the challenges that we're facing, but I'm also going to say, on the other side of those challenges are solutions. And they're solutions brought forward by people who are living them every day, or who are facing those challenges, and they understand that there can be a different way. And that's what gets me going, is knowing that things can be different.
See, that is fantastic. And you're an inspiration in terms of staying optimistic.
I'm an optimist.
You're an optimist. I'm working on it. Now, I know you said that you don't want to scoop yourself too much.
It's true.
But it would be irresponsible of me not to ask. You do have another campaign announcement.
Today. Hold this space.
Just a little while.
Yep.
Is there anything that you can tell me about that now? Or?
Yeah, this is something that's going to support every Yukon family across the territory. It's going to support Yukon kids, no matter where they go to school, and I'm really excited about it.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really looking forward to being there and putting together a story that actually goes more in depth.
I can't give you all my secrets, but what I will tell folks, no matter where you are in the territory, we've heard you. We continue to listen to you know, to what's affecting you and how, you know, access to healthcare has been challenging. And we know in some cases that there's really beautiful healthcare stories, and you talk about those successes, and they exist as well. And it's about building on those successes. And so this election to me is about better healthcare and lower costs. And what you're going to continue to see from myself and the UConn NDP team are our solutions to those challenges. And I'm really, again, optimistic and excited about what the future holds.
Fantastic. I'm afraid we are running out of time, Kate White, but thank you so much for joining me today live in studio for the first of our Territorial Election 2025 interview series.
Yeah, thank you so much. And everybody out there, have a fantastic week.